take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand what's really going on here on the earth, why it's going on the way it is, and how it is that you're turning the curse into a blessing through our Lord Jesus. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our study of Romans, verse by verse, last time we finished Romans 2:15 with the expanded translation that states, the very ones who demonstrate the accomplishment of the law written in their hearts, their conscience confirming the testimony, in fact, their thoughts alternatively accusing or else defending themselves. So here we see the word conscience brought up, which brought us to a side trip. Because as we do the verse by verse study, we tend to take some side trips on important words. This is the context of the law that was in verse 13 and 14. And in 14 and 15, Paul develops, or the Holy Spirit through Paul, develops the concept of the Gentiles having a law unto themselves. So what he's making the case is that the conscience is educated by the norms and standards that the culture is based on. And the Jews had the Mosaic Law, which was the perfect system of thinking, so their culture was the best. I mean, of course, we have sin natures. They had sin natures, so as a result, there were issues. But as far as potential, they had the greatest potential. In fact, Jesus actually demonstrated that. He became the law. He was the law. So he fulfilled the law, and he, of course, was the only one who could, because you have to fulfill the law, you have to be perfect. And he's the only one that was, as a born human being. So we can approach some of those things if we have positive listening to the Word. And the Gentiles were able to actually develop some of these concepts on their own. And that's what he's bringing out. So we're taking a side trip into the doctrine of the conscience, because the conscience becomes the basis for our decision making as relating to people and God and basically everything, ourselves, the whole process of having of self-awareness and self-esteem comes from the norms and standards of the conscience. And that's the problem in our country today. Our country is leaving off and disregarding the truth. And as that happens, people are destroyed because their thinking is destroyed. And it's quite amazing to me that you've got people who say that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, they claim to be believers. But then they believe all this garbage that the cosmos is conveying. So, I mean, it makes you wonder. I mean, you can't really question them, because the Lord knows those who are His. But it makes you wonder. I mean, how can all this garbage play in a nation that claims to be Christian? Well, either they're not Christian, that's a possibility, because they really didn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But that's not our call. And we understand that as a person believes in Jesus, that salvation is eternal. So you're not, or everlasting, I should say. And so they can go from believing in Jesus to not. That it really relates to the Word of God so much more than it does the person. Person is salvation, Word is experience. So they may have believed that Jesus is the Son of God at a very young age, in their teens or around that age, and then they subsequently got drug away by the sophistication of the devil and his minions that are having their sway on our nation at this point. So we're in this doctrine of the conscience, where last time we noted that the conscience extrapolated from doctrine the norms and standards of life. You have to know something to have a conscience. So before, again, we started, the fact that the conscience starts with norms and standards being established from the word know. That's the favorite word for the two-year-old. And the reason for that is they are trying to explore the options in their life from a very, as a child. And the only way they're going to learn anything is if the parents take charge. Now, that's one of the problems we've got in our country, is that the parents aren't doing that. In fact, the state is trying to usurp the parents in that process. So that's even worse. But that's part of the devil's world. So when you know something, you develop standards. Whatever you think becomes part of your norms and standards. So the no's and the yes's in your life, it ultimately establish norms and standards that you assume to be correct. And if they're based on establishment, then they are, or to a large extent, highly likely. That's why establishment countries, which would be Western civilization, were a good home for the gospel and the word, because there was a simpatico relationship between the norms and standards that these nations had from the Western civilization, the culture of the Greeks and the Romans, as it integrated with Christianity. And there was a home there, a natural affinity, if you want to call it that. And that's what created this circumstance. Now, that today, that's called white. It's ironic, but that's what they call it. Not recognizing that there were periods of time prior that other races were involved with this. Now, that's largely just been diminished because the devil has had his way. But nonetheless, if you look across Africa and the Middle East, you see places where Christianity was very, very ascendant in about 2,000 years ago or 1,000 years ago. So you can see that. And of course, that's all been washed away by the devil and his ace trump in that case was the religion I don't like the word Islam. That means surrender. the Muhammad's. Hey, that was around, I think that was just in the mid hundreds of 500, 600, 700 AD. When that showed up, and that became a major influence. In fact, that ultimately it seems like all Christianity, all previous nations that were oriented to Christianity, end up being Mohammedan. That's interesting. That has been the case so far. Okay, we'll see. I don't know what happens next, but we're next, I guess, as a nation. And you see it ascendant here even. So that's part of the reason why we have this invasion going on. The devil is trying to destroy the standards that came from Christianity. And he's doing a pretty good job. Now, God could turn that curse into a blessing and turn it around if these people will respond to the truth once they're exposed to it. But they tend not to do that anymore. In the old days, when people came to your country, they decided to assimilate. That would go back, you know, prior to the present cycle. All of the previous people wanted to become part of the United States because the United States was the premier place to go to have freedom. Today, people want us to adjust to them, not them to adjust to us. And, of course, that's evil. That's not happening. Well, it is happening. It shouldn't be happening, is the point. Because we have the right standards from the Word of God, and they don't. So it's we're destroying ourselves by allowing them to come here and not assimilate. So, you must have a vocabulary and thought to establish norms and standards. The conscience must be built on a vocabulary that starts with learning one word, and that is no. That's the big word for very young children. And if you have a promise from God relating to positive listen to the parents' authority, and a big part of the conscience being trained is related to authority. It's the authorities in your life, the legitimate authorities in your life, become the basis for the formation of your conscience. And if those authorities are legitimate, in other words, they're like the parents and the coach and the teacher, the policeman, then you're going to be prospered by God. If they're illegitimate, like the mob boss or the gang leader or some other wacko that thinks sets himself up in place of the parents, then you have a problem. And that's what we have going on in large segments of our country today. And not just here, everywhere. And of course, that's part of why this devil is bringing in this influx of outsiders. Because he thinks, and he may well be right, that he can destroy the country that way. And he might. He might pull it off. We'll see. I mean, that's up to us. All consciences begin by being built on the negative words that are forbid doing something. This means that negatives initially establish mankind's conscience. Although eventually there are explanations in both the positive and negative terms. See, a young child doesn't have the capacity to understand how or why something works, but they can be commanded to stop doing something. The how and the why comes later, if they have the humility to learn it. The only possible way for the believer to have a conscience that honors God is to have norms and standards and priorities from God's word of truth that is contained in Bible doctrine. See, the word of God is the ultimate source of absolute truth. And, of course, that's one of the big assaults today in our country, and not just ours. But this whole woke thing and this critical race theory attacks divine establishment, because ultimately it's attacking God is really what it's after. That's what the devil's after with it. People may not pick up on that, but that's really what's going on. And of course they call it white, because why? Well, the white race, the race that came down into Western Europe and propagated across Western Europe, you know, became, is mostly white. Not that they all are. There's a lot of people, I guess they don't call Hispanics white. I don't know why they don't. It's the same great big group of people. They're sons of Japheth, is what it amounts to. Japheth received blessing from God in Genesis. I think it was like a Genesis before 10 or 11. It was right after the flood. And those people are just a variant of him, and as is the rest of Western Europe. But basically, the white people, not all of the white people, many of them, are from Japheth. Now, there's Asians too. Asians are in that group. And then you have the sons of Shem. That would be the Jews and the Arabs primarily, the Middle Easterners. You know, that would include probably Iran, all the Gulf states are Shem. Of course, Israel, and that basically would be them. And then you have the sons of Ham, and that's Africa and some of the Aboriginals and places like that that come into that place, that game. So, no, they mostly, remember, God divided the nations by language and culture and geography. I mean, that's something he did. Acts tells us that. And it shows us that in Genesis 11. So all these people were divided from the Tower of Babel because God was creating walls of fire to protect the human race. And as a result, these groups of people have different sets of consciousness because the culture developed differently in each region. And that was on purpose. God did that on purpose because he needed a group of people who would be positive to his word all along the way. And the Jews were that way for a long time. 2,000 years or so, more or less positive. Occasionally they got out of line and God took them captive. And then the same thing has happened now with the Gentiles, specifically the Greeks and the Romans and the cross, and even up into the Eastern states, you know, for the Orthodox Church has gone. That was all part of that group. They're all sons of Japheth. So that's who we are. You know, whether we like that or not, that's the facts. So God prophesied that, or it was prophesied about Japheth back in Genesis. Some verses that reference the conscience include Romans 9:1. We'll look at a couple of these, because basically the word conscience comes up here. And it basically involves one standing before God or people. It says, I'm telling the truth, John 9:1, Paul speaking, in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Paul is explaining his situation here with regard to the Jews in this case. Because remember, he had a very heavy heart regarding the fact that the Jews had rejected God, or Jesus. They accepted God initially as Yahweh. But then because of their legalism with their written material past the Tanakh, that would be the Talmud and the Mishnah and all that stuff, they turned away from the truth. They got into legalism and asceticism and ritualism. In Romans 13, and that's the enemy of the conscience. We're going to see that here. Romans 13:5, it says, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but for conscience sake. See, there's a reason why you're actually compliant with authority, for your conscience. See, God's looking at your conscience. Are you violating it or are you not? And so if your conscience got falsely programmed, you're actually responsible to God for that to an extent. Now, you're responsible actually to learn better, which means your conscience is going to be washed by the word. But until it is, you really should comply with your conscience, because to violate it is a negative thing. So it's important for people who have a conscience that's twisted and messed up to get educated with doctrine, so they know what their right thing to do is and what's not. Because some people think that right things are wrong and wrong things are right. And that's a problem. But until you have that nailed down from the word, you have a problem. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, knowing this, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope we are made manifested to your consciousness. So Paul is explaining the word. And remember, he was teaching the mystery. And that was a problem for the Jews. because they had had the ritual plan of the Old Testament all the way up through there. And when he started bringing out the mystery, they became very upset with him because they wanted to stick to the ritual, not recognizing that the ritual was pointing to Jesus and that Jesus had come and gone. And now we're in the reality of it. So Paul was brought along to represent Jesus in the context of that, which is why there's a whole lot going on different in the church than was going on with Israel. So Israel was the game plan for God until Jesus showed up. And it was the game plan for God while he was on the earth. But as soon as he was crucified, that was no longer the game plan. Now there's parts of that that are still the game plan because it has to do with integrity and morality. But for spirituality, no. No. It does not apply anymore. Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for all who believe. And so Jesus fulfilled the law because we couldn't. And that we talk about that all the time in Romans 8, 3 and 4. Hebrews 9, 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We're going to look at this verse a little bit later in the context of dead works, because that's important, understanding what dead works are. And we're going to talk about that. Because a lot of people that are believers have a miseducated conscience regarding what spirituality is. And as a result, they are involved with dead works. And that's not a good thing. Because dead works are not going to be regarded, remember, at the judgment seat of Christ, when we get to heaven, after the exit resurrection, all the dead works are going to be burned up. So if you're carrying a load of dead works and you get up there, you're going to have nothing when you get through. Nothing. You're going to be saved, but you're not going to have any production, and therefore no reward. So that you got a lot of believers going to be in that category. Probably 90%, maybe 95%. A lot. The majority, by a long way, are going to be in that status. Because they think that morality is spirituality and stuff like that. But they're the ones that get turned by the dark side and end up being the devil's servants. Well, the Old Testament does not have a specific word that's translated as conscience. In other words, the Greek does. They have a word that we just noted a couple of them. God's word does explain that the conscience works and how conscience works in the Old Testament. It worked the same. And it had to do with the passage there in Romans 2 that we're looking at. We see this in our passage, Romans 2, 14 to 15. So this is, if you look at this, the Gentiles here, it goes back all the way to all of the non-Jews. Remember, we have different words for Gentiles. We have Greeks. We have Gentiles. This is the word for Gentile, ethnos. The Hellen word is for Greeks. It's both a Hellen is a subset of the Gentiles. But this is the entire group of Gentiles. This would mean anybody that's not a Jew. Remember, you had to be a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be a Jew. You know, that's the Jewish race. So, and this Jewish race is a subset of Shem. It's all of Shem is not the Jew, but all the Jews are Shem. Okay, because Shem came first. But you had to be a son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three of them. Because there's points on the other side to them that you could be a child of, and you would be a child of Abraham, but not a child of Isaac. You could be a child of Isaac and not be a child of Jacob. You see, the 12 tribes, and it ends up being 13 in the end because Joseph had two kids, but the 12 tribes of Israel are the Jews as a race. Okay, because they were created. God created them when he enabled Abraham and Sarah to have a kid, and that would be Isaac. Because he was sexually dead, and she was always sexually dead. She was barren from the get go. Never had a kid. Okay, couldn't have a kid. I mean, she had a gene problem. I don't know what it was. Some people are like that. Can't have babies. All right, so she couldn't have a baby. But God fixed that, and he fixed Abraham after Abraham got real old. And couldn't have kids anymore. God made him have kids. And he had a bunch of kids after that, not just Isaac. So, looking at the Gentiles are this group of people apart. Everybody besides that one little channel of people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the Jews. Everybody else. When the Gentiles who do not have the law, because remember, the law was given to Moses. Moses gave the law to Israel. Gentiles did not have the law. Now, they created a law, or laws similar. In some cases, not always. Some cases it was pretty good, some cases it was not. Because some of the Mosaic law is not something you're going to figure out on your own. So, what do not have the law, do instinctively the things of the law, not having the law. These having are of the law unto themselves. So, he's explaining how the Gentiles had a conscience that they trained that was similar to the law. And for practical purposes for God, it was useful the same way. Because the conscience was trained, and he's looking at your conscience. He's looking at your conscience and the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And because that's where God is testing you. Everybody's, the issue for everybody is what's going on in your head. Now, what's going on in your head will ultimately be what's going on in experience, but initially it starts in your head. At first it starts out as words and thoughts. And then it turns into thoughts in your words in head. Thoughts in your head. Then it turns to words that you speak. And then it turns into visible things that you actually practice. That's how things work. So, verse 15. In that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing and defending them. So, depending on how they're functioning before their conscience, they're either condemned or not. And that's good, because that gives you a standard of thinking for good if you have it trained properly. See, the conscience basically becomes our police department. So, we see this concept of the Old Testament in our passage. We saw that already. The law written in their hearts, we saw that. Their conscience confirming their testimony in their hearts, alternately accusing or defending them. Okay. So all normal people develop some form of norms and standards, priorities and concepts for life in the thinking of their soul. Believers develop norms and standards and priorities in their thinking that is based on absolute truth through persistent, consistent perception, metabolization, and application of doctrine. See, the Word of God becomes the basis for the conscience in the believer. That becomes the absolute measuring. In fact, Paul's another passage says we have this standard of thinking. It's the word metron, where we get the word meter, which is a yardstick, basically. A big yard, 39 inches or so. It's a standard of reference. And that standard of reference is God's Word of truth. So that becomes the basis of our norms and standards. So we have that from God. That's given to every believer. Now, whether they take advantage of it or not, it's up to them. But every believer has it. An Old Testament example of this is found in Daniel 1:8. And this is a good one because it talks about Daniel and his friends. It says, but Daniel made up his mind. This is, remember, Daniel was taken captive early. He was one of the people that was taken out on the first cycle. They came later and took out Jerusalem and completely wasted it. But before that happened, they came down there and they carried off a bunch of the royalty, and Daniel was among them that was taken away, and he decided to buck Nebuchadnezzar. That's pretty cool, you know. That's what he did, and he got away with it because of the standards he had and because of his standing in the Jewish race as a leader. Nebuchadnezzar flexed. He didn't kill him. And he actually ends up making Daniel one of his leading counselors, because Daniel had a special gift from God because of his positive listen to God. So he didn't bend. He didn't assimilate. Now, there's no reason he should have, because what he had was right. And he understood that. See, he had the norms and standards from God and the Word of God in the Old Testament. So he decided in his head, in his mind, that he would not defile himself with the king's choice foods or with the wine which he drank, so that he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. And God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander. So the boss is there. Remember, he's a slave. He's a prisoner of war. He's got no standing, so he's taking a chance to die here. But God honors him because he's honoring God. You see, God's truth is always honored. And sometimes it may take you out because God's truth isn't very popular in the devil's world. But sometimes it actually promotes you because you stood for the truth and God was going to use you. And that was the case with Daniel. Okay, Daniel ends up writing one of the major books in the Bible, historical books. It's important to know that. A lot of prophecy comes out of there. So he was a very influential guy, and he ends up being, what's interesting, he's the basis for the wise men that visit Jesus. So it was his people, thousands of years later, that it was his people who were the ones who came over the line and came over to the Roman side, because remember, there had been a war there between the Persians and Mark Antony. And they had a detente going down through there. A line you didn't cross. And these guys did cross it. That's why Herod was so upset. Because Herod was the vassal for the Romans in Judea. So he was upset. He wanted to know why these guys showed up over here, because they ain't supposed to be here. And so then he figured it out. He said, well, you guys need to report to me so I can figure out what's going on. And he didn't, of course they didn't, because God told them not to. But, you know, these that all came from Daniel. Because he was what they would refer to as an astrologer, but he was actually an astronomer. Astronomer, that's what he did. They called it astrology. But Daniel was actually an astronomer, and he figured out the plan that how the stars are going to be when the Son of God was born. Pretty cool. The conscience is the most basic attribute of the soul related to self-consciousness. It's located in the heart, or aka the right lobe of the soul. Remember, we talked about how we learn things. We come into the left lobe, and then the Holy Spirit teaches us in our right lobe. This is where the norms and standards that you have learned related to everything are maintained. So this is who you are. You know, see, that's a problem if you change it, if that's being morphed. That's what we got going on in our country today. Our country is being destroyed because those norms and standards are being changed. And they're not being changed for the good. They're being changed for the bad. The devil is running the show on that baby. These standards set up your own personal honor code. If you're going to have freedom and privacy and property, these standards must recognize legitimate authority. See, freedom, privacy, and property. See, our nation was founded on the basis of freedom. And that requires privacy and property. And guess what they're destroying in our country today? Well, they're destroying freedom through destroying privacy and property. See, they're not making a direct assault on freedom, although in some cases they are. I mean, today, it's gotten so bad. But they actually go through the back door. And they attack property and privacy. You know, this whole thing with the internet and the tech people and all the things that are going on with that is destroying privacy. They got satellites up there now and drones hanging out where they can listen to you talk in your front room. Or they might even have an Amazon thing going on with your TV or something. It's on the internet, right? So they can hear you if it's plugged in. Right? And if they know what you're saying, maybe, if they want to know. Okay, I'm just saying. There's back doors to everything. Just know that. There's back doors to everything. I used to build them back doors. I worked with the boys down there in Maryland at the NSA, building back doors. Okay, I did that for about 10 years. So I know what that's all about. And they got back doors to everything. Everybody has systems of norms in their conscience. And the basis for honor and integrity that you may have, this would include making and keeping promises, not reneging on obligations, and it's the basis for males becoming gentlemen and females becoming ladies. See, that's what we don't have much in our country anymore. You want to go get that, you got to go back 100 years, maybe more, to get that, all right? That's gone away. People, males ain't gentlemen and females ain't ladies anymore, hardly. There's a few. Almost none. Honor is more important than anything else in life. A society without standards is no society at all. The Roman Empire destroyed itself because it rejected its own standards and the better standards of Christianity. See, their destruction, remember, there's nothing new under the sun. What's going on in this country has been going on for years, thousands of years. Israel did it. The Romans did it. Everybody did it. We've all these countries, all these countries have gone down. All these client nations have failed. And we're next. The USA is doing the same thing at this critical time with the demonic lies of critical race theory and wokeism that allege that absolute truth is an artifact of white privilege and nothing could be further from the truth. Absolute truth is from God. Just because it's connected with people who are white has nothing to do with anything. Everybody's equal before God. You know, what matters is what you think. So, it don't matter who you are. Your identity as a believer is not with your race. No Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free, no male, no female. Okay? Making issues of any of that stuff, which is what the devil does. All he makes is issues of are things that aren't issues for church people. Because the new spiritual species trumps all that. It replaces it. All of that is subsumed in your identity in Christ. So, people that make an issue of race, that's the devil. No matter how it's played out, I don't care, it's the devil. People who make an issue of gender or sex, the devil. People who make a picture of an issue of rich, slave, rich, poor, the devil. There's only one issue. Are you a believer in Jesus? If you're a believer in Jesus, you are in that new spiritual species that trumps them all. And you're actually in a position to have the greatest blessing from God that anybody could ever have. But people blow it off because they care about what's going on with the devil. And you got whole subcultures in this country like that. People who should be part of the pivot. But they're called up in social justice and equity and all that crap. They're sons of the devil as believers in Jesus. Saved, going to heaven, but they're thinking they're right in the devil's lines. They are in the devil with their thinking because they don't teach God's word of truth. They make issues of things that aren't issues in the church. That's why the country's going down. The pivot ain't big enough. Not enough people who are believers believe the truth. They believe lies. They're sons of the devil. Well, they're sons of God who put the devil's clothes on, put it that way. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are born again into a spiritual aristocracy of privilege and honor. There's privilege right there. You call it white, it ain't white, baby. It's spiritual. And there ain't nothing you're going to do about it. I'm sorry. If you're a believer in Jesus, you got it. And whether you take advantage of it or not, it's not my business. I mean, it actually kind of is because you're tearing the country apart, and I'm not real happy about that. But that's your business. You can do what you want. This means that you have to develop new standards. See, the old thing's got to go away. And see, when people used to come here, that's what they did. They adopted the standards that were here. Why? Because they're better. Not because we're better. No, the standards are better because they came from God. God's standards are superior, period. Okay, it ain't about people. It's about God. It's about the Word of God. It's about Jesus. Your first standard should be the recognition of a legitimate authority so that all of us can maintain and have freedom under the laws of divine establishment. See, the basis of freedom is divine establishment. Without divine establishment, you don't have freedom. And that's why we're rapidly going to tyranny. We are a fascist slave state, rapidly. And if you cross these people, you end up finding out what that means. Ask the January 6th people. They're dealing with a fascist slave state. And all the things that these people are doing, accusing these people, are false. They're false. There was no insurrection. Nobody carried a gun. Except the cops. And they let them in. So that whole thing's a bunch of crap. It's a false flag. They set it up. And they're implemented in the evil courts. They're all sons of the devil. Anybody involved with that is a son of the devil. Period. I don't care if they are saved. They're still a son of the devil. They aren't going to hell. Well, they should probably. But they're not, because Jesus saved them. But they're going to get hammered, believe me. People who have the right to learn their own standards and make their own decisions, but the standards don't make you spiritual or advance you to spiritual maturity. Only God's standards that are based on absolute truth do. See, there's the issue right there. What kind of standards do you have? Are they based in the truth of God's word or not? And if they aren't, scuballa. Dung. That's what it is. No one has the right to superimpose their standards on anyone else. See, freedom. That means you've got a right to be wrong. Which we've got a lot of people like that right now. Privacy means you're allowed to hold any opinion until you grow up spiritually. See, that's the agenda. Learn better. And change. Don't stick with the old ideas that are wrong. You have to have privacy to take in doctrine without anyone setting standards for you. And that's what's happening. We see that with this COVID thing. Shutting down churches. I mean, they're assaulting everything that was of value in this country. They're shutting down free enterprise. I mean, they don't know what to tell you the truth about it. It's tyranny. I mean, this was a dry run for the beast dictator, if you want to call it that. I mean, that's what I would call it. The beast dictator isn't here because he can't show up yet. I mean, he might be on the planet, but we don't know. But the bosses that run this country, and for that matter, the Western world, all locked down, okay? Except for one country. That would be Sweden. Everybody else locked down, okay? That's tyranny, and it's evil. It's going to be shown to be that way, but nobody's going to tell you. You got to talk to the right people, or listen to the right people, you know, because they don't want to know. Nobody, the bosses don't want you to know. The bosses don't want you to know that they're a bunch of slave masters. That's what they are. They're working for the devil. let's see here. As you learn doctrine, your norms and standards will change. Well, they have to if you learn doctrine. At every stage of spiritual growth, you have a consolidated conscience so that you regulate your own life on the basis of your own standards. So ultimately, you're going to have standards. And if you do the Word of God like you should as a believer, your standards are going to be different from the zeitgeist of this age. You're going to stand out like a sore thumb. And they're going to come after you. Believe me, they're going to come after you. False standards from legalism produce a weak conscience. We see this in Romans, 1 Corinthians 8:7. It says, not all men have this knowledge. About this, the context is food and drink. This is a big problem in the early church because they had temple sacrifices where the food was offered to offered to the idols, and then it was sold on the street. And the Jews had issues with it because the Bible specifically said don't hold food offered to idols. So that was a problem for the Jews from the get-go because of their norms and standards from the Mosaic Law. But that had to be adjusted. That's a part of the thing that they had to change because we're moving out from that role into the church age. Now, Paul got it. Paul was one of the few. Well, probably the only one initially. And he got it because he was steeped in the Jewish system and he recognized its inability to solve the problem. So when he became a believer in Jesus, the lights went on in his head, unlike anybody else, because no one else had been in his position as a leader of the people, the hitmen for the Pharisees. So the Holy Spirit was able to illuminate him and he changed his thinking immediately. I mean, there was an education process, but he was quick. He recognized the problem that was going on there, and he also recognized Jesus. And Jesus was the issue, because it was the end of the whole process when he recognized that. The rest of them came up real slow. They didn't really get it. So, anyways, he understood this, and so he recognized it. He was a Jew. He said, I kept the law perfectly. Okay? And what that mean? That means he implemented the process of the sacrifices and stuff that were part of the process of when you had issues. And he implemented that to the best of his ability. So, and he was on a war against Christians because he didn't believe what God had done through Jesus yet. But when he became a believer, then he became the hitman for God, basically. Which didn't involve killing anybody. It involved preaching the gospel. That's what his whole mission became. The gospel. That solves all the problems, because it does, when you understand it. So, He's making an issue here because you've got the Jews who have an issue, then some of the Gentiles did too, because they had previously been part of this, and they were coming out of it into the church. So you've got two groups of people who are involved that he has to deal with. And they had to have their conscience washed by doctrine. So he's trying to help them here. It says, for not all men have this knowledge about food offered to idols, but some being accustomed to idol worship until they were saved, eat the food as if it were sacrificed to idols, and their consciences being weak is defiled. See, they thought there was relevance to the fact that the food was offered to an idol. And there wasn't. And in the church age, there isn't. Now, in the Jewish age, there was, if you were a Jew. Or if you were a Gentile who had converted to Judaism, it would be a problem. But we're not in the church age anymore. That terminated as of the cross. Okay? So we're in the mystery age. And the whole thing is, all the priorities are different. Well, many of them. Not the standards for dealing with morality with people, but the standards for relation to God are. We don't have the temple sacrifices. That's gone. Jesus did all that. He replaces it. So the whole thing is different as far as the way our spiritual life works. And we have the biggie is the Holy Spirit. The one that nobody talks about, hardly. And if they do, they talk about it wrong. They go try to go back to Acts 2 and do miracles and stuff. That ain't right. But the Holy Spirit is the issue. They got that part right. It's not about miracles and stuff, tongues and stuff. That ain't happening. It won't not happening today. It's gone. It was part of the early church, but it's not here now. We have faith, hope, and love. That's it. Under the ministry of the Spirit. Well, Galatians 5 tells you what you 22:23. That tells you what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's got a whole list of it. Some of the best food in Corinth had been offered to idols, not just Corinth. And then sold as the official choicest meat in the temple market. Food is food and meat is meat. So it was all right to eat that food once you sanctified it. So as long as you've made your prayer and asked God to bless you with it, you're good to go. It's that simple. Now, if you have a conscience that's miseducated, there you got a problem. And that's what happens. That's the situation they had. They had a miseducated conscience, so that conscience had to be renovated. Their thinking had to be renovated by the word. But those with an idolatrous background and with a weak conscience, eating food offered to the idols was very offensive. See, they were offended by the fact that believers, which mean that we would say, Paul would say, don't eat it if you're with people who are going to get offended. Why? You don't want to offend them. See, that's the idea here. So you got to determine where they fit, though, in the picture. Are they trying to manipulate you, or are they just seriously offended? And if they're seriously offended, you don't put a stumbling block out before your brother. See, so you wouldn't go there. Okay? You wouldn't go there. There's things you wouldn't do out of love. It's called the law of sacrifice, where you're willing to sacrifice your freedom to not do something that might offend somebody else. That's a legitimate sacrifice. So you make a choice not to go there. But if for other people, then you can go there if they understand it. See, the ones who with a weak conscience had legalistic norms and standards from their inner conscience, from their legalistic, ascetic, religious background. So they had developed a set of norms and standards from their religion that were inaccurate, and as a result, they were offended when people ate this food because they thought it was relevant that it was offered to an idol. And it wasn't. It wasn't. At least not now. Well, again, it was before because of the Judaism, but not now. So there's a conflict between those with a strong conscience and those with a weak conscience. A strong conscience is the Bible to standards from metabolized doctrine. In this case, that's mystery doctrine, not the Old Testament. A strong conscience has Bible doctrine from metabolized doctrine. A weak conscience lives by standards acquired from its background, its culture, that may or may not be good, or it may be distorted. Or it may be rescinded, as was the ritual plan of God's for the Mosaic Law. That was gone. It was rescinded. Jesus fulfilled all of that. Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness for all who believe. So, and that's the spiritual side of it. There's morality still there that plays, and that's all repeated in Romans and other places, the morality of it. But the ritual and all the sacrifices and all that stuff are gone. They're not part of the church. Now, people go back there and try to use them to beat on people or to steal from them. Tithing is one of them. Tithing is not a principle in the New Testament. It's an Old Testament taxation system. So, but people go back there and they use that. They say, oh, it's in there. You got to do that. Oh, yeah? Well, no, I don't have to do that because it's not part of the mystery doctrine. Okay? So you got to understand what comes first. Just because it was back there don't mean it's now. We had a different message. We have a different plan. Our plan is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Their plan was the law and complying with the protocol to separate them from the people so that the seed of the woman could be born. That was their job. And it was only given to one small group of people. I talked about it earlier. Sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's it. Not even the entire channel of Shem. Just that one narrow channel. That's who was given. That's who Jesus came from. He was a Jew. The Jews were created so he could come into the earth. That's what happened. The food one eats is a physical issue and has nothing to do with spiritual life. Those with weak consciences assume they are strong because legalism always assumes it's strong. See, that's the problem. It's like the law. You know, the law assumes it's strong, but you can break it with one little sin. So it's not very strong. You know, it looks strong, and it's great as long as you have the capacity to do it, but that's the problem. See, that's why what the law could not do, God did through Jesus. Why? Because we have a sin nature. That's why. And so the first thing that happens, we came along, we busted the law. So it's all busted. Because if you break, like James said, you break one commandment, you broke them all. I mean, you compare it to a window pane. Window panes look nice and pretty. But you throw a rock to it and it's no good anymore. You got to get back to where you was, you got to start from scratch. Completely replace it. All right? There's no fixing it. Well, it's weak then. So that's why legalism. Legalism is like the law. Now, it doesn't mean there's a problem with the law per se, if it's right, in which case it is, of course. because the law is of God. But other people's idea of right and wrong ain't necessarily so right. So their legalism is always assumes it's strong. Yet legalism is very weak because it is easily offended. The invasion of guilt into the conscience is one of the biggest problems with legalism, because guilt becomes evil motivation for legalistic believers. See, guilt is a sin. And if you as a believer are motivated by guilt, you're sinning when you're doing what you're doing. So if you're doing anything based on guilt, that's dead works. Everything everybody does on the basis of guilt is going to get burned up in one place or another. It's going to get burned up at the judgment seat of Christ for the believer, and it's going to get burned up at the great white throne for the unbeliever. It's all burned up because it's the devil. The guilt is the devil. It's his, one of his major powers, guilt and fear, and they're both sins, big time. So the conscience is a very sensitive thing. Without doctrine, it can be erroneous in its concepts. If doctrine does not feed the conscience, instinct will. That comes from your culture. And instinct rapidly develops legalism because it has no grace orientation. See, the problem with instinct is you have your viewpoint, but there's no way to fix that. You see, that was the problem. See, that's the problem with the law. God's law is perfect, but he couldn't save anybody with it. He can only beat them up. The law can only condemn you. It can't save you. Jesus saves you. You see, that's why you have to believe in Jesus. Now, once you believe in Jesus and have the Holy Spirit, then there's good principles in the law that you can deploy. Yes. I'm not going to say that's not true. Morality is good, but morality is not spirituality. Spiritual person is moral, but the moral person may not be spiritual. You can't tell the difference looking at him. You ask him a question, you might figure it out. Maybe. You know, because then if the guy said, well, I believe in Jesus, and I believe that the Holy Spirit's leading me to do these things, and the Word of God's, this is the stuff the Word tells me. Well, they're talking to a believer now. That guy has a chance. Anybody else is just doing it because it's the right thing to do in their culture. That's not salvation. It's good for everybody else, though. It provides freedom. Freedom's a good thing. You know, so he may be saved. Probably will be. In fact, God will bring this. If a person has positive devotion to establishment and morality, they're definitely going to potentially respond to the Word of God in grace. Maybe not right away, but eventually. We see from this that guilt is an indication of a weak conscience. So if you're functioning under guilt, your conscience needs to be purged. And how do you do that? Doctrine. Filling of the Spirit and doctrine. You need to learn rebound and you need to learn the Word of God. Paul had a balanced conscience regarding establishment and the principles of Bible doctrine or theology. The norms and standards located in the conscience are directed toward both God and man, but primarily towards mankind until you become aware of the existence of God and what He has done for you. So remember, our first relationship is with people because we can see them. But eventually you get exposed to Jesus and the Word of God, and then you can perceive Him through doctrine and the Spirit. Acts 23:1 explains how Paul was, this is when he was being cross-examined. Then Paul, looking intently at the Sanhedrin, that would be the group of people he used to work for, said, "Brethren, I have conducted myself as a citizen with good conscience before God up to this day." Remember, he's on trial because they didn't like him preaching the mystery. He was contradicting their rules, and they didn't like that. They tried to kill him. I mean, in fact, remember, how did he get to Rome? He got to Rome under court-ordered protection, witness protection. You see, that's why he appealed to Caesar, because he knew he couldn't get a fair trial in Jerusalem, because the Jews were there running the show. So he had to get to Rome to get a fair trial, and even then it probably wasn't fair. God's people don't get a fair trial in the devil's world, eventually. Acts 24:16. In view of this, even I myself keep on practicing to maintain a blameless conscience, both before God and before men. See, so he recognized the value of a conscience that was educated with doctrine. In order to have a blameless conscience, you must have a balanced conscience that has the proper norms and standards related to both God and men. In other words, God comes back. That has to do with the order of the problem-solving devices. We first love God, and then we have integrity love for people. You see, personal love for God leads to capacity for integrity love or impersonal love for people. Because ultimately, God's the only one that can protect you from people. people are just typically no damn good. So, at least often. Too often. So, your only way you're going to get protected is by God. You got to have the courage to allow God to come through for you if that's what he chooses. In a way, whatever way it is, he may take you off the planet. Because he's done with you, maybe. But if he's not, then he's going to keep you here, one way or another. Paul had two sets of norms and standards from Bible doctrine. He had one set related to God and one set related to man. True strength is to develop your standards towards both God and man from biblical standards of God's absolute word of truth. So the real issue is to look to the word. The word explains our responsibility to each group or each category. So God comes first and then people. Paul's conscience before God originated from the mystery doctrine of the church. It didn't come from the Old Testament. See, he had completely wrecked it. He was the leading guy on this. That's why he was sent to represent Jesus. Represent. When Jesus came, it wasn't his job to explain how he did it. He explained who and what and why, but not how. Paul explained how. And truthfully, that's the real mission of the pastor these days. Because if you get the how right, everything else sorts out. The how is walk by means of the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. Stop grieving the Spirit. That's the how. You get that right, everything else falls out. The why will fall out. God, the Holy Spirit will lead you to the why and the what. All those things will be taken care of by God, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God that he leads you to understand. His conscience before people originated from the Mosaic Law. See, it had its place in establishment. Combined with what he had learned related to the Bible doctrine of the church. Of course, that's the how. How did Jesus do it? Jesus did what he did by being filled with the Spirit all the time. That's how he did it. Everything he did was accomplished on the basis of the mystery of the Spirit and the Word. So he memorized the Word, and then he was filled with the Spirit, and so he had complete compliance with God's will by virtue of that nexus. The synergy of the nexus of the Spirit and the Word. We do the same thing. Exactly that. It's not legalism. The Holy Spirit leads you to do the right thing. Now, you got to know the word to get there from here. But the Holy Spirit is doing the leading. And to do that, you got to be filled with the Spirit. Believers who are functioning in the categories of extended carnality from living in Satan's cosmic systems destroy their conscience. We talked about that earlier in Romans. How the people who are involved with certain types of deviancy, specifically sexual deviancy, have developed scar tissue in their soul that prevent them from responding to the Holy Spirit. That's why fornication and other sexual fornication is not a perversion, but that's promiscuity. But other fornication and other forms of perversion are bad, are harmful, because they prevent people who get involved with that from responding to God's grace. So common grace won't work with people like that unless they're really hammered. Okay, so that's a problem. So it prevents people from submitting to the Word of God. So because the cosmic systems destroy their conscience and become sucked into the Christian degeneracy, and this is why the USA is declining. See, as we leave off from Christian standards, now again, we're not a Christian nation, but the standards of conduct in this country are established on the basis of divine establishment. And that can be separated out from Christian viewpoint. Remember the Gentiles had this they had this apart from the law. So the Greeks and the Romans had these concepts that have come over to us. And the Bible reaffirms this, and the law does too. So it wasn't just with the Old Testament and the New Testament that this information came through. It came from the Gentiles too. Now, the law adding to, or actually affirms it, because that's the absolute standard. But nonetheless, this existed prior. So just because the United States has Christian principles doesn't mean the principles were always Christian. You see, that's the thing people miss. No, they think, oh, this is Christian, so it's wrong, or it's judgmental. No, it's what works. Whether you got it one way or another, it doesn't matter. The law is a nice, easy way to get it because it's handed to you on a silver platter. But they had figured it out, many of these people, on certain areas of freedom. So the reason the United States is declining is because people are moving away from this into degeneracy. Christians. And that's the real problem, is the Christians. It's not the unbelievers, it's the believers. As the believer goes, so goes the client nation. As the pivot of believers goes, so goes the client nation. The pivot is shrinking. The number of believers is shrinking. The countries in the deep world are hurt. And it's going to get taken out. If God can't let this keep happening. I mean, you can go a long ways before he does. How many people do you... He only took 8 people out of the flood. All right? 8 people. Of all the people that lived on the planet. 8. So he likes to play chicken with the devil. And he does. And he wins. He wins every time because he knows what's coming. So we'll pick up here next time with 1 Timothy. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to provide for us to study your word and the blessing it is for us to understand this information so that we can take advantage of your grace through the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God. As we deploy your thinking into our experience, thereby glorifying you and being beneficiaries of the process, because ultimately we can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.